Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we're unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is Grace Garcia, and this is my wonderful husband, David Garcia.
Hello.
And we are episode two, season two. I am so excited. Last episode really got me thinking and listening back to it on just the importance of not just starting, but continuing. Even if we fall, even if we stop, even if we fail, we get back up and we continue. And I think one of the things that was mentioned quite a bit was the importance on self-reflection. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, you know what? Self-reflection is super important that we should continue. And I think it deserves its own episode. So that's what today is going to be about. What is self-reflection? The importance of self-reflection and maybe kind of where we've seen it in our lives, whether that be times we nailed it in the self-reflection area or times we should have self-reflected and maybe we didn't.
Okay.
And so that's what we're going to talk about, self-reflection. I do have a definition here just so that we're all in the same consensus of when I say self-reflection, we're on the same page. Do we know what it means? Here it says, self-reflection is the process of examining one's thoughts, actions, and motivations to align with core values, grow personally, and make better decisions. Self-reflection. First, I want to ask you, do you think self-reflection is important? And I mean, I feel like the obvious answer is yes, but
yeah.
And why? Like, where have you seen it in your life where it benefited you? And where have you seen it in your life where...
Don't say the opposite of it, because I don't think it'll ever negatively affect you.
No, but I'm saying where you didn't do it and it was bad. Then maybe you
could. I think every time you don't do it, it's bad.
Every time?
Every time.
Okay.
I think it's super highly uber mega tree... important that everyone does self-reflection, to be self-aware, to examine oneself almost daily.
Yeah.
And especially if you're listening to this podcast, and especially if you're thinking, I want to be better every day, it is important that daily you do those self-reflections. And the reason why is exactly what you said. You want to make sure that whenever you set them, you have set values. You have set core values, you've set life goal values, that is basically your alignment. And so your self-reflection is basically, am I aligned with what I say are my core values? If I am not, then how can I be aligned?
Yeah.
The one thing that we talked about, I forget when it was, I don't know if it was last episode or the episode before that, but we were talking about, usually we have set goals for one another, for ourselves. And I only check it like once a year. And then by the end of the year, I go, oh, I didn't do a lot of this stuff. And why is it? Because I didn't do self-reflection. Mm-hmm. And so you get to a certain point where you look back and you're like, I kind of wasted all this time. Because part of growth is to self-reflect. Part of growth is to check, am I growing? Am I aligned with that, what I say, I am, if in Atomic Habits, am I aligned with all the things that I say that I want to do or be? If not, then I need to adjust my course. Because just as we say that 1% every single day will make you 37 times better at the end of the year, in the same way, if you go the other direction 1%, guess what? You're going to be 37 times worse than where you were at the beginning. And that comes usually from not self-reflecting. It's almost like driving with your eyes closed and hoping that you're on the right path to where you want to go.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got to check all the mirrors. You got to check the roads. You got to check the signs. You have to check. If you don't check, then you have no idea where you're going.
And I think it's something that's super important. And unfortunately, it's not taught, at least I wasn't explicitly told, like, hey, self-reflection is important. This is how you should do it growing up. Like, once we're older, we realize, hey, this is important. But by then, our habits are set that it kind of is uncomfortable, or it takes us so much more effort to put it into place. were you at a young age like self-reflecting? Is this something that you started later on in life because you realized on your own it was important?
No, I think it's something that for me personally came later on in life. And as you were saying that, it just immediately made me go to, that's why it's important for us to be good parents. Because if we could teach our kids right now that they need to be self-reflecting, and if they're checking in to see if they are who they want to be, it's going to set them up big time, because somebody like me didn't have that. And so you just do what you believe is right. And at one certain age, I don't know, like late 20s, you realize, oh shoot, like I did all this to survive. You know, one thing that I've like learned is like, it's okay. You did all those things to survive. But regardless whether you like it or not, all those actions, all those decisions have consequences. And now I got to deal with it.
Yeah. And even now thinking, I think once, I don't know if we did a parenting podcast or something. I was said in a podcast. There's so many now podcasts and it's hard to pinpoint exactly which one. But listen to all of them because there's gold nuggets in each one. But we were saying on, I think it was like raising children. And we were saying how it's important to speak words of life. And there's a difference between, hey, good job, you're smart, versus like, hey, I'm so happy you figured that out. Or did you see how well you worked and you got the answer? And it's so easy to say like, oh, you're so smart, or good job. And I catch myself doing it. I'm saying, catching myself and reminding myself, oh no, like give them props in the process of it. That being said, because I feel like when we grow up, at least for me, so many things I'm like, wow, I'm like lucky. Like, wow, I just got blessed. Like, wow, I was unlucky, or life sucks. Or like, I just realized the outcome, not paying attention. Like, what did I do to get myself in this mess? Or what did I do that turned out really well? How can I even do it better so that I can get even more of a reward or more of an outcome, a positive outcome? Like, it's just like how you said, we're living life, and we notice the effects, but we don't really pause and be like, what God is here? And I wonder if even our kids now, I think of Elijah because he's older. I always say like, okay, great, you read it or you've solved this problem. Like, why, how did you do it? Or why did, like, I don't like when he guesses, because it shows me like he doesn't understand. And I think that's kind of where self-reflection is. Like, how did you get here? What were you thinking? Like, what are the steps that you took, right? And so I'm like, okay, maybe it is super important to start young, to, even if we don't call it like self-reflections, to start saying these questions out loud so that it's in them and it's programmed in them, and they can start asking themselves and it becomes this natural part of their life.
Yeah, I would agree. And as you were speaking, I just thought about my sessions in therapy. Like, you're basically doing the same thing. You're self-reflecting. And kind of going off what you were saying, like, you self-reflect and then you realize the why of you're doing what you're doing. Like, why am I reacting this way? And then you go even deeper. It's just like, why am I reacting that way? Like, where does that come from? And a lot of the stuff that I was, for me, is like, oh, my childhood, you know, like how I grew up, why I got rejected, or how I got criticized a certain way, or how a certain person spoke to me, whatever. Like, all that stuff, especially at a young age, it molds you. And so as it molds you, I mean, you react, you choose a different path or whatever. And then, now I'm in therapy, self-reflecting. And then it's always, where do you think that came from? Where do you think that came from? And I'm like, digging, and I'm like, oh, that's what it is. And the cool thing is, though, when you self-reflect, you can identify the core reasons why you act a certain way. And when you can identify it, you can at least counteract it. You can, because when you don't identify, it's like, if you can't identify an enemy, you can't fight the enemy. It's like, okay, what are you going to shoot at? Nothing. You have no idea where the enemy is or what it looks like or how it moves or whatever. But once you can identify the enemy, it's just like, okay, I know the strategy to go against this enemy. I can win this.
And as you were saying, like, therapy's, that is self-reflection. Unfortunately, though, so many of us wait until so much has happened. Like, it's not being proactive. It's like reactive. When, how much easier would life be if we do it in real time as we're living? It becomes a part of who we are. We are self-reflective people. We're just in tune with our emotions and our actions so that we don't get to that part of like, oh crap, what just happened or why did it happen?
Yeah. And I think it honestly is easier said than done. If you're listening to this, I would suggest you at least try to do it once a day, maybe at the end of the day, because to do it in the moment, especially when you're in the heat of the moment, it's hard to be like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me press pause for a second.
Yeah.
Let me just cool down my feelings and let me just process all this and self-reflect and see where all the core is. And like, let me just communicate the core and communicate my vulnerability. It's like, no, that's not easy.
Yeah.
But if you can do it at least once a day at the end of the day and be like, hey, like, what are some triggers that went off today? What did I feel? What was really at the core of that feeling? Because a lot of times, for men, the go-to answer is anger, right? Mm-hmm. But beneath anger is like so much things. It could be fear and we react in anger. It could be rejection. We react in anger. Like it could be so many things. I could be hurt. I react in anger. Like all these things. But if you can do a self-reflection, you can start digging and digging and digging and then just be like, okay, like I realized where I did wrong. And give yourself grace, because I mean, obviously you're in the process of learning, right?
Yeah.
Give yourself grace. I screwed up. I yelled at whoever. I cussed out whoever. Like I flipped the table, whatever it is. But like reflect on it. Be like, this is what I did. That's the action. Or that was the reaction to a certain trigger. Mm. That trigger is XYZ. Fear, rejection, loneliness, whatever you want to identify it. And then underneath that is like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Because there's obviously such a big trigger that, let's say you flip the table and you don't want to be flipping tables. So it's just like, okay, you got to start self-reflect. You got to start pulling this apart. The only thing is, I will say, again, easier said than done, some of these triggers, some of these core things that literally really like formed you and rocked you is hard to deal with. And some of us don't want to deal with it. And some of us usually choose to disassociate and unplug and be like, no, I don't want to go there. And for me personally, I've done that. And I've done that because I go, I don't know how to deal with these emotions. So I'm just not going to deal with them. And then I want to paint a different picture. It's almost like, for me, it's personally like, have you ever seen a person get a tattoo that they regret after? And then they just tattoo on top of it. Basically, that's what I do. So it's like the ugliness is still there, but I'm just going to tattoo on top of it to make it look pretty and I'm good.
Well, it's a good picture for that analogy. I think it's a great analogy. And I think a lot of the reasons why, I mean, life's hard. And so it's not out of laziness. Like I don't think, at least the majority of us, I think it's just like exhaustion or not being taught. And the easiest go-to is like autopilot, right? So you were using the analogy of the car earlier and we have to keep our hand like on the steering wheel, because even if we put the steering wheel to go straight and push the gas, if we let go, eventually it's going to go like one way or the other and just head that way. Mm-hmm. And so many times we just want to go on autopilot and we forget. I've said the saying before. I truly love the saying. And I think we brought it up time and time again. It's as a human, if we are not growing, like we are dying. Mm-hmm. Like there is no constant, like there is no kind of like autopilot, like take your hands off the wheel and you're going to do great things in life. It's like, no, take your hands off the wheel and you're going to crash. Like, but self-reflection is a day-to-day thing. Sometimes even like hour-to-hour thing, like it's a huge part of our life, but maybe because of our parents or lack of vocabulary or whatever it is, like it's not our normal, but it's so important that everyone does it, I feel like you were using situations and when you get like angry or like those situations, but even in neutral situations, let's say your life is good, but you get content in life and you're day by day and you genuinely forget like, wait, what was I dreaming for? Like, what was I reaching for? Like you just notice like you're day in and day out, and you're not achieving maybe the dreams that you had and you left it on the back burner. Or maybe you realize like, oh, you know what? Like I had this goal of like being a better mom and I haven't really been improving. I've just kind of been staying the same. Like I'm not reading up to date on like my kid's about to be a teenager and I haven't read about that stage yet or got equipped for that stage. Like it can just be neutral things that we once set goals for ourselves and we once dreamed about or we had this and we just kind of got comfortable or tired and we're on autopilot. Now we say if we're not growing, we're dying.
Yeah. And I think it's very important, the, let's say, label or the things that you choose that you want to do. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like, and it's very important that you're self-aware, you self-reflect, and you're confident in what you've chosen. The reason why I say that is because I can go back to a point in your life where you had this bad habit of stacking your plate with a million things.
Yeah.
And you were balancing all these things and things kept falling off and you kept like crying and you were frustrated. Yeah. And so we finally talked and we were like, this year, I forget what year it was, but this year you are going to learn how to say no.
2 years ago.
And so why I bring that up is because in your season of learning how to say no and how to correctly balance things in your life, to somebody else, it could look like, oh, you're just stagnant. Like, you don't want to be doing all these things. Like, there's so many opportunities for you. You're staying stagnant. And it's like, no, no, no. In your season, you were confident that that's what you had to learn. Yeah. And so that was a growing season for you. Although to an outsider, it might look like you were doing much less than you were before.
Yeah. And even in the act of saying no, I had to think about it. Because before, my autopilot was yes, yes, yes. But that was my go-to. That was like my take my hands off the wheel. Me saying no, like I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable. I don't want, like, it took more thinking of me. Like, it engaged my mind of like, wait, why am I saying no? I'm so used to saying yes, like talking to you through it or whatever. And like making this intentional no was more self-reflecting than me just saying yes, 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 yes all the time. So that required no thinking because it was my go-to response.
Yeah. And so that's what I would just reiterate. Be confident in what you've chosen to do in this season. And don't let outside opinions try to steer you away from what you're confident about.
Yeah, I love that. And I noticed for me, I feel like I'm doing better in the self-reflecting. I definitely feel like I'm being more conscious and it's being intentional. Where before it was how you said, like I just put things on my plate. If it ended up good, I was like, God is with me. If it ended up bad, I'm like, it's a testing season. And there was like no self-reflection of like, what went wrong? And you would be like, hey, this is what went wrong. And I'm like, no, it's just, it was meant to be, it was meant to be. But it's hard to self-reflect, to really think like, where did I fail? Like, because we said it last time. There's a lot of times where we have to be truthful to ourselves and it might be uncomfortable and be like, that's what self-reflection is.
A synonym of self-reflection, I would say, would be an audit. And we were recently talking about this a couple of days ago. And I was saying it is very important for you to do audits. Now, this word audit, if you've heard this word, you've probably heard this word audit in the setting of like a corporate, like a job, an organization. And usually when you hear it in that context, everybody, like their hair's like bing all the way up. Yeah. Like they're scared. They're hiding. Usually when you hear the word audit, you immediately think, how can I hide all of my mistakes? How can I just make it seem like I'm the most perfect person ever? Because what an audit is a self-reflection to see where are areas in your life or where are areas in your organization, where are areas in your job where you've kind of dropped the ball and you have to pick up the standard. Like an audit is, here is my standard. Let's say your standard this 2 years ago was, I need to learn how to say no. That is the standard. There you go. So what's that to say? You want to balance your life. If you want to balance your life, okay, what's important to you? Family, being a wife, being a mother, your job, ministry, all these things. And then you have the extracurriculars like social medias and stuff, right? And so what you have to do in your case would be, here's my priorities. Here's what's going to take up most of my time. And if I have time left over, I'll do this stuff over here in this pile, right? And so that's basically the audit. Okay, let's say I'm going to audit you during that season. All right, how much time out of the 24 hours are you spending with your family? And if you were to go 30 minutes, okay, how much time are you spending in your job? Well, obviously like around 8 hours, okay? How much time are you spending in the extracurricular stuff? let's say 4 hours. Then I'd go, well, the audit says that your priorities really aren't what you say your values are. The audit is saying that you're putting way more emphasis in the things that you have lower on your priority list. Mm-hmm. And so we need to change that. And so the point of an audit is not for the sake of, let me point out all your mistakes. This is where you suck. This is where you did wrong. I'm not going to help you. I'm just going to point out all the wrong and I'm just going to go deal with it.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody runs away from that. But the real point of an audit is, here's where there are areas to improve. Let's do this together. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. How can we get better? How can we get to the point where you have set the standard? How can we get to that point and keep it longevity-wise at that point?
Yeah.
So to do a self-reflection, like you said, who likes to hear, I've done wrong in this point? Who likes to even point that out to themselves? A lot of people just justify it. Like, I did this because of X, Y, Z or whatever. Mm-hmm. But embrace that process because it is so important, because you yourself have set a goal, a lifestyle goal, whatever, a yearly goal, a characteristic goal, whatever it is, you've set that. And so that already has a standard. The audit is just, am I meeting that standard? If I'm not, how can I get to that point? Mm. How can I get better? An audit is not a bad thing. It feels bad because sometimes we're responsible.
Yeah.
We are responsible. And especially like in our life goals and stuff, we're responsible. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week where we were talking about the stories that we tell. Yeah, we could justify things as much as we want, but a lot of it, if not all of it, is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so some of us don't like to take responsibility and we like to hide behind bushes and we like to hide behind different things, or we could like to point fingers at other people or other things, other organizations. And we go, that's the reason why I can't do it. But in reality, you are responsible and we have to just embrace that.
Yeah, that's good. And I feel like audit has been a word that we've been saying over and over because it's important. And I was looking up the definition and it says an official inspection of an individual's or organization's account, typically by an independent body. And another one said, like when you conduct an official examination or it's a systematic review or assessment of something. And those words like systematic assessment, accounts, inspection, I feel like at least for me, we're inferring that it's something that is organized. Like we need some sort of list or we need some sort of evaluation to know like, okay, what is it that we are comparing it to? Mm-hmm. Right. And I think at least for me, the reason why sometimes that intimidates me or even self-reflection in the past is because you have to kind of have some organization or know what to look for or even who to compare with. And we've been talking about that a lot when it comes to, for me right now in this season, what I've been really thinking about is as a parent, as a mom, who do I want to be? What does a mom in ministry look like? What does a mom doing my calling look like? Mm-hmm. And so I guess when I'm doing an audit or self-reflection, I'm like, okay, what am I comparing it to? And so that kind of sometimes not discourages me, but it's like, this is a difficult process because I have nothing to compare it to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And actually the crazy thing is I think we keep feeding off each other, which is great. When you were reading the definition of audit, I thought of 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? What, you have that in there?
Do you see it? Yeah, I had 2 Corinthians 13:5. I had it right in my, took it from my phone.
But yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
It's necessary. And so what does that mean? Like, we shouldn't shy away from it. And here's the thing. There's some of us that have been conditioned to be perfect. And in that conditioning of being perfect, and I'm talking about in childhood, like maybe you had parents that just expected perfection all the time. And if not, you didn't get what you were really desiring, which was to be loved, to be recognized, to be affirmed, to be loved, to be accepted, to be seen. And so we built up this like way of being of like, we're going to continue. Either we're going to continue faking it till we make it, or we work our butts off so hard, which is, has been me, work our butts off so hard where we become excellent in a certain area where we get the recognition from people, right? Mm. And so with that being said, those people tend to not like to examine themselves, because if there are mistakes, then they equate that to, if I reveal my mistake, if I reveal that I am not perfect, if I reveal that there are errors or blemishes, then I will not have people love me. I will not have people see me. I will not have people accept me. Nobody will give me grace. All these things start going, and that is all derived from fear. Fear takes over in that moment. And if you feel, as I'm talking about this, this is you, then you really, really, really need to have a time of prayer and a time of meditation, a time of self-reflection, because that comes from a very core part of your heart. Mm. And if you are conducting yourself out of fear, that is not a way that God wants you to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
And so we need to get to a point where we believe what God is saying in his word to us personally, like that we do have, that he does give us mercy, that we do have grace, that he still loves us no matter what, that there's nothing that can separate us from his love. Like all these things, we need to embrace that all. Why do I say this? Because if you don't do any of that, you will never be able to truly self-reflect and truly do an audit on your life. You'll always run away from that. And because you always run away from that, you'll never be able to grow the way that you want to grow.
I love that. And I completely agree with you. I don't recommend the self-reflection part just on its own, because even I'm sure like sports people and CEOs, they do self-reflections and they think audits and all this stuff is so important. Mm-hmm. I'm not a sports girly, but I'm sure like they play, they win, they lose, they look back at their playbacks or whatever it's called and they say, here, this is where we're wrong. But we have seen in the secular is this need of, we need to do more, we need to do more, we need to do more, where they equate their value with what they can perform. And so if they get an injury or if they reach success, quote unquote, we see, right, that sometimes they fall in depression or they cheat on their spouses. Like it's never enough. And I do believe that if there is no, how you were saying, if there is no self-reflection without reflecting on the word, we won't even really know, like, who is it that we're trying to become? Why am I trying to become this? Like, is this where God wants me to be? I believe wholeheartedly, like Jesus was self-reflecting. Like he would do what he has to do. He would do his calling. He would be with the people. And then it says that he would isolate himself and go pray to his Father. And I'm sure he asked himself, like he would look back and be like, okay, God, why am I here on earth? Like, remind myself of the mission. Is everything that I did today going to that? What am I going to do tomorrow? Like, it's a plan. It's like, let me go back to where, what the goal was, right? What the plan is. Make sure I'm not deterring from that. And in that same way, we need to go to the Bible, see what does God say about who I am? Because that's what it is. They say it's a mirror. Like when we look at the Bible, we say, oh, these are our faults, or this is, I am loved. This is what I'm good at. This is where God sees me. Why is my actions not matching towards it? Or, oh my, I sinned, I fell short. Like, what can I do, right? Or what has God already done in my life? Because it's so dangerous to do this self-reflecting if we don't know what God says about who we are or where we're heading.
Yeah. Yeah, and that comes back to like the standard and the template, right?
Yeah.
What I will also say is, because as I was self-reflecting while you were speaking, I feel like I've focused a little bit too much on you know, the areas of improvement, but also in an audit, like you can also see here is where I have improved.
Yeah.
And so one thing that I'm really trying to embrace and really trying to just make a part of me in this season that I'm in is learning that there is good and bad, and we can name them both. We can paint the realistic picture of this is what my life looks like right now. Mm-hmm. Here is where I need to improve, and here is where I have improved, and here's where I'm doing great.
Yeah.
And try self-affirmation of like, hey, where I'm doing great, like kind of like say to yourself, like, dude, I'm proud of you. Mm. And in that self-affirmation, you are also basically saying, God, this is who you've made me to be, and I thank you for it.
Yeah.
And when you say that, you are also saying, God, I believe this is who you've made me to be, and I thank you for it. You know, so you could see the good, the not so good, and the areas that need improvement. Like, you could see it all. And so there is like a balance to it. It's not like you have to just see the errors and that's the only thing you need to focus on. No, because if that's all you focus on, then you might start thinking as like, you might start just focusing on, I'm a bad person. I keep messing up. I'm a screw up, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like same thing we talked about last week. But if you pull your head back and look at the whole picture, just like, oh, like, yeah, I have areas of improvement and I really want to improve in these, but there's areas that I've already improved and there's areas that I'm doing really great at.
Yeah. And I personally have noticed in my life when I took my morning routine and when I started becoming, I guess, more protective of my morning time of like, no, whether I go to sleep late or I'm exhausted, whatever it is, my morning, like I have to start with God because it's just a great way. Like once I tasted what that felt like, I'm like, I don't want to go back. Like it's a sets the perfect pace. But I've noticed that once I start feeding myself with God's word of who he says I am, of who I know him to be. And once I start like praying and ask him to reveal himself, it's so much more easier to reflect because how you said that fear is taken away. Mm-hmm. Like I already know that I am loved. I already know that I am his child and I'm exactly where he wants me to be. Okay, let's look in my life. Okay, this is where I'm failing, but it's from a place of grace. It's from a place of love. It's from a place of second chances. But doing it the other way around, when you start with self-reflection, again, not knowing like who you are or who God wants you to be, that's where fear can come in, or those doubts, or I'm just always going to be a failure, or I never get it right, like those words. Because I'm telling you, like I feel like I've been a better teacher. I've been more patient. Like I've just been more gracious towards me when I start reflecting. But it's coming from a place of I already have given my time to God, and like my mind is set. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's a great practice that you do. Because we've talked about it, in seeing the whole picture. I mean, I'll go back to Psalms 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Like there's enemies around you all the time. And their only thing that they want is to distract you from what God has given you, mm-hmm. what God has placed in front of you.
Yeah.
And what you say is, I have time with God and I know that I am loved. And because of that love, fear is removed. And because that fear is removed, I can do a self-reflection and I am not afraid of it.
Yeah.
I am okay with, okay, there's an area of improvement, but I know God still loves me. There's an area that I've dropped the ball in, but God is still here with me, embracing me and wanting to improve it together. Mm-hmm. Like to do that, that's love, that's peace, that's freedom.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't do that and it's a complete opposite where you're just like, I don't want to do a self-reflection because I'm going to see where I dropped the ball. And now I'm going to have the enemy like poking me, like, don't tell anybody. They're going to reject you. Don't tell anybody. They're going to alienate you. Don't tell anybody because they won't accept you. Don't tell anybody. They won't embrace you. Just like all these things, all these lies. And because of fear, you and you're focused on that fear, you believe it.
Yeah.
Because that little enemy becomes a giant and you're like, oh, dang, I cannot slay this thing. Yeah, he's right. I'm just going to just keep it to myself and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. And there's no way where doing a vision board or a prayer board or writing your goals like on January 1st is enough. Like there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much happens throughout the year, how you say throughout the day, like the enemies were in that dinner and they start getting bigger or whatever. Like there's no way that that vision that you once saw can, like none of us are that good. Like, and I think about the people in the Bible where there's the Israelites in the Old Testament, like they would see God's glorious miracles like that we can just, we would hope to have seen, right? And then the next day they're like, oh my gosh, why did God bring us here? Oh, we're doomed. We're dead. We're all going to die. And it's mm-hmm. like, don't you remember, like as flesh, we're, how it says like feeble, like the grass withers. Like we just are so easy to go to and fro. The disciples of Jesus, like the ones that walked with him, like him in flesh, were one time they're on the sea. They see Jesus calming the storms. And then they're like, God, you're like, what are you doing with the bread? Or demanding why there he's not showing up how they want him to show up. Or Jesus says, Peter, you will deny me. He's like, no, I won't. Not a lot of days pass, but it's like he did it like three times. And it's like, if they were so easy to forget, what do we think? Who do we think we are that we're not going to forget?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think reflecting that just once where everyone does it, like that's a great start, but let it be month to month. Like, what is your focus on? Let it be week to week, day to day. And then hopefully where every hour we can say, is what I'm doing aligning to who I am, aligning to who God says to me to be? Because a lot happens. And see, when you go through difficult things, like that, those are perfect moments where it says, that verse you read of 2 Corinthians, where it says like, test yourselves. Those times of testing, which usually are very difficult, quiet, isolated moments where you can see like, okay, did I pass? Did I improve? Did I stay the same? Am I getting worse? But so many times those tough moments are really tough. We just kind of want to run through it and then we pass through it and we just want to keep moving forward, like get as far away as we can. But it's in those moments where we can get so much data. And that's, as a teacher, that's what we do, right? We get a test, we see the data, where is it that they are? But it is scary to see like where I failed.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And right now that you said data, I just remembered. This year I started to weigh myself every single day. And the reason why I do that is like, before it was like once a week, right?
Yeah.
And so from week to week, you could fluctuate and you're just like, I don't know why.
Mm.
Now I've started to do it every single day. And now if I go up a little bit, I'm like, what changed the day before?
The air quality.
No, but like what changed? Yeah. Like, did I sneak in a candy? And did the candy really like affect me this much? like you could, with that data, with the daily data, I can see like okay, yeah, you can pinpoint, okay, the night before I had a couple of chips and now I'm seeing the data of like, it did affect me.
Yeah.
And so not only that, but with that daily data, I'm now seeing with that number, am I going the direction that I want to go at? Or am I going the wrong direction? If I'm going the wrong direction, it's because I'm acting not according to how I want to be.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Like if you can have data on it, I mean, that's the best thing that you could do.
That's good. Because so many of us just like, oh, I hope I can eat the same, right? Or like continue to do my lifestyle and just hope that it works out. And it's like, no, every step you take is going to either be to the left, to the right, backwards, forwards. Like if we're not intentional, I think life is too short for us to not be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am done with that. And I mean, I don't have data like you, but I have like, I feel like these testing moments, and I'm going to toot my horn for a little bit because I am proud of myself with this whole like TikTok debacle. I feel like if this happened a year ago or even 2 years ago, it would have devastated me. Like, so much of my value is attached to, like, my drive. Like, what can I produce? What can I do? How much money I'm making? And yes, it feels good to have money. I enjoy spending money. I enjoy spending money. You can tell my husband.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would have ruined my mood. And, or just like, or I would have been like, oh my goodness, like I am not like smart enough, or I'm not working hard enough, or I'm like, I would just doubt like my capabilities. Mm-hmm. And it's been since before the TikTok ban, it's been going down. Like mm-hmm. After October, the TikTok ban happened, and I was upset for other reasons, but I wasn't like, I saw creators on there like crying, and I can just imagine, right? Some people like quit their jobs. I can just imagine. So I don't want to be insensitive too. But I was like, okay, we'll rebuild. Like, I'll just take it somewhere. Like, it sucks. I was like, yeah, the money part is going to suck. But I never once doubted, like, who I am or my value, or, again, based off of, like, what am I doing something wrong? Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, a year ago, I would have been like, I didn't work hard enough, or I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Like, I'm just not successful.
Right.
And I didn't question myself. And I think I was like, this is a test. And I think I am such in a better headspace. Where I'm like, yeah, the money part sucks, but it is what it is. But it doesn't affect me to my core, if that makes sense. And so, just to toot my own horn.
I would agree with you. I mean, yeah. I hadn't really thought about it until right now that I'm listening to you. And I'm like, yeah, you're completely different to how you would have been before. You would have stirred up a storm in this house. But yeah, like right now, see you much more peaceful than you would have been back then. You seem more confident as well. Just like.
Yeah. And I don't think I can say with certainty, like, TikTok is the place that God wants me to focus on right now, or like he has it in for me. I don't know. And so I even said, okay, you know what? I'm going to put a goal, but I'm not like fixated on it. Like, I'm like, okay, like, do I need to put time and effort in it? Like, yes, to see anything. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it, see where it happens, see the data, see if anything is for. But I'm like, God, if it's not for me, I do not want it to become an idol where I'm like, because I think you can succeed in something. We all know, we said it before, like, I've been putting my toes in social media since before we were married. Mm-hmm. And so this is a dream come true. Like, getting free stuff, like getting paid for teaching people. Sometimes I just had to like talk about a specific topic and teach people.
Yeah.
And getting money for that. Like, this is, I can say, a dream come true. And I never wanted to become an idol that would, if God takes it away, it's like, no, like, what did I, like, you're questioning myself or who he made me to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, like, thank you, God, for this opportunity. This is amazing. Like, I think I did everything I could have done it. Maybe I could have done more. Yeah, you can always do more. But it was a good ride. I'm not going to be like, no. Like, I do not want anything right now in my life to become an idol. And so.
And I think that's like embodying what Paul said. I know what it is to have and I know what it is what not to have. And I think that's also embodying or showing that you trust God.
Yeah.
Like, God, it's okay if you take it away. I'll be fine. As long as I have you, as long as I have my family, I'm fine. Like, give it to me, take it away. It's not going to move me, which shows it's not my idol. It's not like, what does it say? I think in Matthew, where it's just like, you store up your treasures here and they could literally, like a TikTok ban, boom, be gone. Like, and those are the people that are like crying, just like, again, not to be insensitive, but like they're crying because they put all the eggs in that basket and now it's gone. And just like the verse says, boom, it could be gone. But if you store up treasures in heaven, nothing's going to touch that.
Yeah. And I did some self-reflection because we were talking about the TikTok ban. And I was telling you, like, David, like, we're going to be prosperous. And you were like, yeah, there are six wives. I think you thought I meant like financial prosperity. And I'm like, remember, and I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but that we got a prophecy saying with Uriah's birth was going to come prosperity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, I thought it was through TikTok. Maybe it could be, maybe it couldn't be. The TikTok ban happened. Okay, that's a clear sign. It's not, the prosperity is not going to come through TikTok. And I was like, okay, I'm fine. Like, God, like, did self-reflecting, like, what did God say? like, did I believe it wholeheartedly? Like, yes. Like, what were the signs? And then, so I was like, all right, that's all I needed to. Like, is my heart self-reflecting? Is my heart just trusting on TikTok to bring the prosperity? Mm. And then when you were saying like, okay, well, to be prosperous, I'm like, yeah, but like, even if it's not money, prosperous, if we take away the money part, that is a good way to live. Like, prosperous in joy, prosperous in love, prosperous in health. Like, I'll take, because you were like, okay, it might not be money or whatever. I was like, I'll take anything with prosperity. Like, if it's prosperity and if it's God saying he's prosperous, like, then I'm good, mm-hmm. whether that's money or not. I think Western civilization and our upbringing, we automatically want to say, like, prosperous is money and testimonies sound cool. And there's, like, actual, like, proof. Like, look what God is doing in our life. But that could be so much more than just that. And so I think that's where self-reflecting comes in, because it says, and that's in the Old Testament, he made them self-reflect. Like, remember the God of your fathers. Remember the God of Abraham, what mm-hmm. I promised him. And Isaac, it happened. Remember the God of Moses, that he took you out of Egypt. He would always say, like, build an altar to remember. Like, this is going to be called this, and it is this. That was kind of like the data. Like, this is a new beginning. And then he'd tell the future generations to remember back to that moment. And so it's good to self-reflect and to look back. What did God say? And so important to know your Bible and to hear God's voice. That's the only way we're going to know. And to reflect in our present time. Are we walking in that? Mm-hmm. And in our future, like, where is it that I want to go? Where is it that this path is taking me? And so it is super duper important.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree.
Yeah. So I was going to end up with that verse, but you took it out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to restate 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and test yourselves. I think it completely encourages us to self-reflect, to make sure we're in line to God's will, which means you have to be reading. I said, I saw this quote. It was like, ignorance of God's word is ignorance of Jesus. And so many of us claim to know Jesus, to know God, but it's through what? Secondhand? And so knowing God's will, spending time in prayer and word is super duper important. But I think how I said, it's not about looking back, but learning how to move forward with purpose. And that is what is going to get us better every single day. It has to be intentional.
For sure. I would agree.
Yeah. So I want to end us there. Thank you guys so much for listening to us, because we know it took intentionality. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in the car with someone who's like not like budging, they want to listen to it. But it's a step, and we hope that you can follow that up with another step with self-reflection and another step with going to God. And before you know it, all those little steps, you'll see that, hey, I am somewhere now where previous me dreamed of. And slowly you'll accomplish those goals and those dreams that God has for you, because God has something great for each and every one of you. Yep. So thank you for taking the time to listen. We love you guys. And until next episode, bye.
See ya.